Chapter 8, When the Trumpets Sound. Revelation 8 and 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there was voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. We've heard from CBS. We've heard from NBC. We've heard from Walter Winchell and Dan Rather and the news. But have we heard from God? Have we invested as much time into Him as He has in us through His only Son, who died so that you and I might be entitled to the tree of life? We must also ask ourselves why God must go to extremes to prove His love for us when we continue to take God for granted and further accuse Him of not doing His job. If we then can be honest with ourselves and each other, it should not come as a surprise when heaven threatens brimstone and fire, as the case is here in chapter 8, as the seventh seal is broken to announce calamities never before seen or heard of. God's use of His signature sevens continues to stare us in the face, as seven marks the universe as His mathematical trademark of perfection. Time is winding up as preparation for the introduction of the seven trumpets is now at hand. Trumpets have historically been used as a form of impending grand announcement, especially when the trumpets are associated with royalty and war. An official announcement is coming forthwith, but it is coming with unimaginable horrors as God answers the prayers of the martyrs and saints. The saints and martyrs have long beseeched heaven to avenge their blood, and they had been told that it would be just a little while longer. Still, of course, we know that a day for us is as it is written in 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. At the opening of the seventh seal, something dramatic occurs as silence is observed in heaven. The silence is intended to draw the attention of all that are assembled, all of the heavenly host, and our brother and friend John the Divine. After the climactic close of the opening of the seven seals, a more threatening occurrence is about to take place. Now, 30 minutes is not a long period of time. Still, for those who have been undergoing strife and pains from the Great Tribulation, any amount of time would be considered a relief from the horror of the moment. But their relief will be short-lived and will not bring any form of mercy. The Holy Writ informs us that seven heavenly hosts are standing before the throne of God, awaiting His pleasure. When seven trumpets are given unto them, another celestial being appears before the altar of sacrifice that bronze altar that is now a golden altar. Witness Exodus 40, beginning in the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt pit therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. And thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. This celestial being also bears a golden censer that contains an abundant source of incense, incense that flows into the ether of heaven and mixes with the prayers of the saints of the Most High, the redeemed of the Lord. The celestial host, which may be an archangel such as Gabriel in reference in Luke 1:19, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. And he fills the censer with fire from the altar and casts the entire lot unto the earth, where there is notice of voices, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquakes. These cataclysmic events are surely designed to unnerve the beholders. Such a display of God's power in answering the prayers of the saints and martyrs is testimony to them that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. These are praying times. Times as when men are advised in Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. And this fainting is interpreted as men being deflated from the intense and awful woes of life that drag them down into misery and submission. Revelation 8:6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. Commands have been given to the seven celestial beings to prepare to sound their trumpets. Trumpet sounds that will initiate new mayhem to the remaining inhabitants of the earth, such as when the walls of Jericho fell. Joshua 6:1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, And when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. The children of Israel were commanded to march around the city for 6 days, and on the seventh day they were to march around the city seven times, and on this 13th time they were to blow their trumpets and shout. When they finally blew their trumpets, the massive walls of Jericho came down, and with the walls every living thing was put to the sword, including the giants of that particular Canaan stronghold that Joshua calls the men of valor. When the first two trumpets sounded, devastation and destruction upon a third of the earth is brought about by hail and fire mixed with blood, destroying vegetation. Without vegetation, animals will starve. And when animals starve, men will die of starvation. Notice that it says in verse 7 that all the grass is burnt up. To further add to this ghastly vision, a third of sea life is burnt up, depriving men of food from the planet that is 70% water, of which only nearly 3% is fresh water. The kingdom of men is now being prepared for the coming kingdom of God. A kingdom that will be without spot or wrinkle. A kingdom that will eventually only house those who have the law of God written in their hearts. Hebrews 10:15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. When the third celestial being sounds his trumpet blast, a star falls from the heavens. Revelation 8:1. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now, we know a star is typically seen as a sun in the heavens. If our sun, which is a star, fell upon the earth, just the sun's coming would utterly destroy the earth before it reached the earth. Perhaps in this instance, our brother and friend John is describing some celestial body, possibly a meteor of such magnitude that it would split after entering the earth's atmosphere and then begin to destroy rivers and fountainheads. Without water, neither plant, animal, nor man would be able to survive on the earth. The intent here is clearly to deprive the planet of the ability to provide sustenance to man, whereas in the Garden of Eden, man had plenty. A third of the planet will not afford men food from the land or the sea. Even the ships that had presumed to fish and to relieve their hunger soon discover that their doom is near. Hear the word of the prophet Amos to Israel. Amos 4:1. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their master, Bring and let us drink. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness, that lo, the days shall come upon you, that he will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifice every morning and your tithes after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offering. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not with it. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increase. The palmer worm devoureth them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up to your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Jehovah God, or Hashem, as Israel calls him, tells Israel that he has withholden the rains from one city and allowed it to rain upon another city. Observe that God calls them kine of Bashan. This reference is regarding Psalms 22:11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. King David describes these strong bulls of Bashan as greedy men and women emboldened by demonic forces that are arrayed against David or Israel. But God's chief complaint here, as it is in our present study, is this: yet have ye not returned unto me. Jeremiah 4:1. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and him shall they glory. Once again, God pleads with Israel to abandon her false gods, to put them out of his sight, and again swear allegiance to him. Finally, for Israel, grace is temporarily being withdrawn. Temporarily, because Rabbi Apostle Paul says in Romans 11:25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Sion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in time past had not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may attain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. The rabbi has concluded that all of Israel will be saved, but it does not say that Israel will be spared punishment for her disobedience. The rabbi makes a sterling case that God already knew before he chose Israel to be the nation to bless all men, that Israel would eventually sin. But God still chose her in the hope that she would not lean to her own understanding and follow false gods. The love that God has for man, especially Israel, is always foremost in his decisions when chastising men. The reason for God's chastisement is for men to humble themselves and pray, to seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal the land. Punishment is always better to the receiver of God's judgments when his pleading has continued to fall upon deaf ears. In contrast, men have not heeded 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as his appearing as his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The indictment is that men have itchy ears and will not endure sound doctrine, but would rather entertain a lie from the source or the architect of evil, Lucifer. Revelation 8:12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Yes, this is the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light. And because darkness has been their preference over the illuminating word of God through Jesus Christ, Jehovah God grants the remaining inhabitants of the earth their darkness. The sun is the life-giving light God has granted man, but the sun is the second light, whereas God is the first light, the light that man refuses to seek. Psalms 19 states that the very heavens declare the glory of God, for all of nature is but a reflection of God, which should include man. But why has man chosen not to reflect the light of Christ that he should catch? Were we to catch the light of Christ and reflect the light that we catch unto others, then would we hear from heaven, and the land would be healed. Whereas the earth's inhabitants have not heeded the words of our Lord, the earth will be cast into darkness, where the celestial orbs of heaven will not shed their light. Without light, which plants need for photosynthesis, life on earth will cease. As the heavens and nature declare his glory, so should the inhabitants of earth. God has granted us a beautiful planet, has ordained that we become stewards of the planet, to husband it, and has made it a playground for us to enjoy his blessings, if only we would give him honor and glory, which he so rightly deserves. Numbers 14:13. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware to him, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. The earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, and unbeknownst to many, and probably even against their will, men have been declaring the glory of God in some of the strangest places. Yes, we've heard from the news media, as the spin doctors grant unto those who have itchy ears, unsound doctrine and gossip. And remember, gossip kills the gospel. But there is another branch of our society that opposes the power of the prince of the air. Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Hollywood has allowed herself to interject the Bible in film. Take the latest movie called Avatar, The Way of the Water. The movie introduces a new cast of characters called the Na'vi. According to the filmmakers, the Na'vi has 4 fingers instead of the 5 fingers that the Avatar has. Now, what is interesting is the word Na'vi is Hebrew for the English word prophet. The prophets of old spake for God. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Another movie made by Marvel has given us a character called the Wolverine. And as you may know, Wolverine has these metal claws that extend out of his hand when he does battle. This metal that the Wolverine claws are made of is called adamantium. But in Jeremiah 17:1, it says this, The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. The word diamond is translated from the Hebrew word adamant, meaning something that is immensely strong and unbreakable, as the claws of the Wolverine. They've taken the Hebrew word adamant and given us the metal claws of the Wolverine as adamantium. Just one last mention of how Hollywood is nevertheless promoting the will of God in this offering is a franchise called Star Wars. Ask any kid today, and they can easily respond to "Let the Force be with you." They can tell you the phrase's source, but can they tell you that the Force is alluding to the Holy Spirit? There are treasures hidden in life's field, unknown to many, who continue to declare His glory and not ours. In Matthew 13:40, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Again, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." There is still time for those who have heard the gospel, the good news that Jesus is Lord, and have accepted God's free invitation to join His coming kingdom. There is still time before grace is withdrawn for one to make their confession of faith to God through Jesus Christ. The late Bob Marley sang in his song that there's a natural mystic flowing through the air, and if you listen carefully, you will hear. It is not true that God is not talking to us today as He did to the men and women of old. What is true is that we are not listening to that melodic voice of God that summons us to victory. The cares of the world is drowning out His voice. And if you listen carefully, you will hear there's a natural mystic flowing through the air. It is the sound of the voice of the Lord that contends against the prince of the power of the air. God's voice, however small, will always outshout the voice of the would-be pretender to the throne. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace.